dialed at home, it's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
He can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 80 of Three in the Box, your vaping wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, November 15th, 2015, 11-15-15. This is Aaron, and in this episode we talk about Dubnyk dubbing it, Pominville pominvilling it, and Dumba, well, you get the picture. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
How's things going?
I heard Christmas music already. I'm not happy about that.
I'm assuming you were at the same place I was, at the Mall of America.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little disturbing.
Except for I heard it at 2 in the morning while we were working, which is less fun.
It is after Halloween, at least.
So I'm guessing you're up in arms over the red cups.
Oh, I could give two shits about the red cups.
Get that Christian snowman off of there.
Allah Akbar, motherfuckers.
One of the guys I went to high school with started getting Kwanzaa put on his now. So he goes in and tells him his name's Kwanzaa, so that's what it says on his red cups. Can I just put, like, Halloween? Just my name's Halloween.
Why not?
Yeah. St. Patrick's Day?
Halloween.
Your name's Fat Tuesday?
Fat, yeah. Hey, oh, I like that one. Yeah. Although that is kind of, that still goes back to the whole Christian
thing. And it's close to our collective birthday, actually, though.
This year, it's very close.
Yeah. As Wild fans, what we should do is just say our name is Wild, and then it's a Wild Cup.
Oh.
No?
Hey, yeah.
And they'll be like, Wild, your mocha grande latte is...
Exactly.
Although this would also...
And it's almost kind of a wildish red there, you know.
They got green in their logo.
And a little green in the logo, see?
Although, you know, Seattle still does not have a hockey team.
It's the Wild Signature Cup.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe. Start marketing as that.
Yeah.
Needs a little gold in there, and then, you know, you're set.
It also means...
Some of that harvest wheat or whatever they call that color.
That also means that we got to... go to that place of business, and which I don't really care for. So.
And a Wolf Forest header, whatever that is.
The logo. We're Minnesotan people, so we go to Caribou.
We go to Caribou. Proudly.
Unless you're stuck at Target and you need a coffee, and then you get that weird, like, fake Starbucks, because it's owned by Target.
So it's right.
It's like, it's weird.
It's
just like when you walk into one of those places and they say, "We proudly serve Starbucks."
Yeah.
And it comes out of the coffee thing. That,
the 100-gallon. Like,
yeah. You press the pressurized thing down and it pours into your little styrofoam cup. And you're like, oh, they got Starbucks coffee.
Yeah. I don't think they go by the Starbucks standards on how to brew coffee.
Actually, funny story. And this will actually tie back to... Eugene W.A. Yeti Hoage, I don't even know what your at Twitter handle is during my touring days, one of the days I got to go to Tommy Lee's mansion, and he actually has a room that's outfitted with Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And it's seriously, like, Starbucks came in and put all their crap in there, and yeah. And I'm sure it's not, like, sanctioned by Starbucks. It's basically like a franchise almost.
Well,
you know?
I've heard celebrities that, you know, they've got their specifics that they like. So they'll go in and talk to the companies. And, I mean, if they're buying enough of it and with the right name, I mean, that's marketing for the company, too. Hey, so-and-so has our product in their house.
It's another company store for Starbucks. Hey, we got one in Tommy Lee's house. Why not?
So
that's store number 3,786.
I wonder if he got his own store number.
So how long till we get a Caribou in here?
In Three in the Box headquarters here?
Yes.
Well, they're technically owned by a German company.
Well, I've already got one in the house, but I'm waiting to get one in the bathroom. So I'll have a Starbucksception.
Wow, does coffee really go through you that fast?
Coffee does make you poop, so.
I mean, like seriously, like, I got to get my coffee and sit on the toilet at the same time? Like, yay, and done.
Well, and on that note.
So, how? Yeah, that's how our week has been.
Yeah.
Shitty week.
Yeah. Well, before we get too far into things, we'd just like to remind you, follow us on Twitter. We're at 3inthebox. We'll sometimes put out questions out there, and we'll ask you about things, you know, before we do our podcast, and we'll field the questions. And we've got actually good new Twitter section coming up here where we're going to...
Got some good questions tonight, too.
Got some great questions. So let's before we get to that, though, let's talk about the Wild Week.
All right, so they started strong and progressively went down, but this past week the Wild managed 5 out of a possible 6 points and currently sit in second in both the division and conference, trailing fellow Division of Doom team Dallas Stars by 5 points.
I don't know, I prefer Division of Death.
Division of Death, well, yeah, that works too.
Division of Depression, maybe, if you're Colorado.
Well, I mean, yeah, because even Colorado, I think, would still be in a... Well, a playoff situation right now if they were in a different different division.
If they're in the Pacific, you know. Anyway.
So, yeah, you know, not a bad week. Good blowout against Winnipeg. Or fairly good blowout.
Yeah, it was starting to get a little hairy and looking like they were going to come back, kind of like the Wild were able to come back when we played them earlier in the year.
Yeah, they stormed back very similar to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a good game. First OT win.
Yeah.
Against first 3-on-3 OT win. That was against Carolina on Thursday.
Yeah.
And the then, big crowd.
Big crowd. All the 12 people. Right. I'm pretty sure we have more people listening to this podcast than we're actually in the stadium.
Very well could be.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, an OT loss against Dallas.
Can I just say F Norm Green?
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I think we all feel that way still. Dallas should not have a hockey team.
No.
So this week, you know, if I had to name a player of the week, I think I got to go with Vanek.
Oh my God, I was at a bar and we were going out to dinner with some friends, and I saw that goal on the TV while we were waiting for our table.
What goal was this, Aaron?
This was the Vanek between the legs, just absolutely. And I said this, you know, when I was, you know, waiting for the table, I was like, that is about the sexiest goal I've seen all season.
Highlight reel.
Highlight reel, number one on ESPN's top 10 plays of the day.
A, it's amazing that there's a hockey hockey play in the top right. 10, let alone the number one play for ESPN.
And even more so that ESPN is actually paying someone to watch hockey games.
Yes. Speaking of ESPN and hockey teams, did you guys see, I forgot what hockey team it was, had said something, tweeted the team about something ESPN related, and the team tweeted back going, "Who are you?" to ESPN.
I didn't see that.
It was kind of funny. Nice little jab from the team. You know, it's nice to see some of these.
There's a few teams with really good Twitter accounts. The Wild aren't one of them.
No.
At least with just, like, really good barbs, you know? It's like they've got someone who's really quick and just can, you know, they're full of zingers is really what it is.
As much as I hate to admit this, you know who's really good at that is Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas is, I think, are probably sitting on the top as far as trolling other teams in other cities.
Right.
So Dallas is a bunch of trolls.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me.
Well, anyway, back to your question, though. Best of...
Yeah, so you guys have any other thoughts? Best, worst players of the week?
Well, obviously Vanek, like you said.
3 goals in 2 games. And, I mean, both of his goals against Winnipeg were pretty goals.
Right.
I mean, they were just sniper shots. And even his goal against Carolina was awesome. So, yeah, Vanek.
Oh, is that what you're going with, Jive?
Dubes. I gotta say, man, he's been stand up this week.
Dubes had some killers. He had that between the leg save.
Or the behind the back. Yeah, between I don't know. The legs. I'm sure you guys can all see the motions that I'm making now, but you know.
Well, my pick is going to be Jason Zucker.
He had a hot week too.
You know, he had 2 goals at Carolina, and those were basically
OT winner.
The OT winner, our first three-on-three OT winner.
Yeah,
actually, was it? Yeah, it was 3-on-3 at that point.
Yep. So,
we all like the number 3.
We definitely do. And then he had an assist at in the Winnipeg game as well. So, 3 points in 3 games. But more importantly, he basically won it for us against Carolina.
Yeah, he did.
Game winner.
You know, so it's hard to argue against that. And he's had a really good season. He's kind of flying under the radar nationally. I mean, I think he's going to be that guy that's going to be our next forward of the future. If you're looking at anyone that we've got,
sneaky good.
Any thoughts on worst? I mean, I think we all have the same guy kind of sitting in mind right now, and we could almost maybe put him as like the worst of the season so far.
I'm going to say Parise had a really bad week.
Parise did have a bad week.
I don't know. He's probably, you know, had his foot up and put his feet up and been kicking back, relaxing, right?
He did have a 0 on his plus minus. So.
Yeah, so had a pretty good week. Yeah,
he hasn't given up too many goals when he was on the ice. So
I wonder if he got his TPS reports in yet, though.
So is he on the ice or is the ice on him right now?
Wait, he's at the point where he should be warming it, right?
Maybe.
I always forget. You ice it when it initially, and then you warm it afterwards, right? It's ice.
It changes every year, actually.
I'm not a physical therapist, if that's not obvious here.
Dr. Aaron. Gotta have him.
All right. So, Dallas, though. Dallas has historically been a tough arena for the Wild to win in. I mean, it's always been, you know, take it if you can get it. If Dallas is going to be the tough team that it's looking like right now, how important is it to get some of these wins in Dallas this year?
Well, I mean, I know we only came out of there with a point, but I think that point was definitely, you know, it's going to be valuable. And the unfortunate part is that the Dallas Stars did still get 2 points on
right.
That. I mean, Dallas, you look at them, they've got, you know, they brought in Oduya and
Sharp,
you know, some of our nemesis is from that other
team we don't like.
Yeah, the Blackhawks there. And so, I mean, it might come down to that similar type of matchup, you know, in the playoffs again. And
except for this time we're going south instead of heading east.
Right. So hopefully those don't come back to bite us. But.
Well, see, I'm going to argue, though, that, you know, Dallas, you know, they've played well so far this year. But, you know, the Wild have, over the last year and a half or so, have actually played pretty well against Dallas and in Dallas. I think they've won, well, not counting yesterday's game, they've won 2 of the last 3 games in Dallas. And plus, add on to that, Dallas hasn't really faced any of the Division of Death yet. They've only played 3 games in the division so far this year. So I look, I mean, they've played 11 games against the East.
Which, if this stacks up like last year, the West pretty much dominated
right.
The East almost all year long.
I mean, they're 4-0 against the Metro, 4-0 against the Pacific. The Pacific stinks this year. I mean, if we could have 6 teams in the playoffs in the Central, we would, but we can't, so we won't.
We'll get to see some of those Metro teams this week.
Right, but I think Dallas, their record, I think, is a little inflated by who they've faced. And I think even though the Wild lost in overtime, I don't think we should be giving too much credit to Dallas because I don't think they're that good, honestly.
Well, hopefully you're right. I mean, which would basically make, as it stands, the Wild the number 1 team if your logic holds true.
On paper, though, I think that Dallas has the talent.
Oh, sure.
To make it a banner year for them.
Oh, no doubt.
So, yeah. Well, speaking of banner years, person who we hope has a banner year, Dubnyk. I mean, this past week, he has been solid. And I mean, really, basically over the last five games, Dubes has had a save percentage of .927, which is outstanding.
And he's making some crazy saves.
Crazy saves.
Yeah.
And the goals against average of only 2.2. That's just over the last five games. But, I mean, he's definitely giving the Wild a chance to win when he's playing.
And like he's even laying out, you know, hip checks.
He did.
Oh, that's right.
He did have a nice hip check.
Right.
Hey.
Against the Jets, I believe it was. Sheffley or whatever.
Hopefully the NHL marks those down in their stat book for them.
And all you fantasy players can get a hit from Dubnyk out of that one, you know.
Yeah. So, and also this week, Dubs was the first NHL goalie to reach 10 wins.
That's pretty impressive.
Which is it is impressive. And while that is great, I mean, do you guys think that the Wild are having to rely too heavily on Dubnyk as our only solution in goal?
It's pretty obvious that Dubnyk's our goalie of the future and of the present.
Yeah.
And Backstrom is the goalie of the past.
So what does that make Kemper?
Future?
Kemper's got to be trade bait at
Jiminy
this point.
Jiminy Cricket? Right?
Kemper's got to be trade bait, right?
Yeah. So
what are you going to get for him?
Jiminy Cricket?
Jiminy Cricket.
Trade him to Edmonton. They need goalies.
Trade him for Scrivens?
Trade him for Connor McDavid.
That'll go over.
Yeah, I'm sure that's totally based in reality. But, you know, there might be some, I mean, all kidding aside, there might be some value left in Kemper that we could actually get some return on. Especially if we're going to be riding Dubnyk, you know, 90% of the games. Maybe we can get by with having Backstrom only playing those back-to-backs, you know, which we've got still a ton of left, you know.
What did we figure, like another 8 or 9 sets at least?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
Or was it in the teens, double digits?
Still? I thought it was like tweens. Ugh. You know, so we still got to, you know, even if you're going to ride Dubnyk every day, provided he doesn't get, God forbid, he doesn't get hurt. Because if he gets hurt, we're screwed.
If he breaks his foot in the locker room, I'm totally calling conspiracy on Backstrom.
The Finnish conspiracy.
The Finnish conspiracy, yes.
I did see that Harding has moved into coaching, I believe, out in Edina.
Oh, really?
I think he joined up forces with Kurt Giles out there.
Really?
And coaching out in
Edina. That's kind of...
So we don't have to worry about him coming in and breaking anybody's foot.
So we just... So that's going to... wow, that's quite interesting. I mean, that's one hell of a goalie coach to have for your high school team.
Yeah. Along with Kurt Giles, you know, former NHL stuff. That's Edina for you, though.
We won't touch that quite yet.
Right.
Right. So, you know, earlier this season, I mean, Dubnyk kind of had his ups and downs a little bit. Were people kind of, you know, were they calling his misfortunes early? Were they calling him out of proportion by just, you know, I mean, there was a lot of people that were questioning whether it was a one-hit wonder from Dubnyk or whether he's the real deal.
Here's the thing. It's Minnesota and it's fair weather fans. They'll judge their season on the first period of a game. I mean, we saw that game one this year where against Colorado, where the Wild were down, and it's like, oh, well, there goes our season. And it's like, dude, the first game isn't even over. We've got a lot of hockey left.
Right.
I think, you know, Dubnyk coming off the season, you know, coming off the off season, you know, still getting his legs underneath him. You know, give him time. I think he's going to be fine. The people that are saying that, whatever, they can go.
Well, I'm going to go the other direction and go, you know what? It's still pretty early, you know.
We're almost 20% into the season.
There's still a lot of season left.
There's still a lot of season.
So, I mean, what is it? The Wild were on top of the world, you know, December 1st. And it seems like they're always on top of the world December 1st.
Which, yeah, we haven't hit the Christmas hump yet.
Right. Can we be on top of the world on January 1st? And if you talk to me on January 1st and we're, you know, still fighting for the top few spots in the conference, okay, I'm convinced now that Dubnyk is back and he's still the same guy and he's working with our system. Because I don't think that he's necessarily – I think you take him out of our system, he's not necessarily the best goalie. But within our system, we need just a good goalie. And he's good, you know. We'll see, though, come like January 1st.
Yeah, we've been down this road with the Wild, though, before. I mean, it's literally like start off super strong, and then we hit that Christmas slump, and it's like fighting to get into the playoffs as a wild card.
And I hear what both of you guys are saying, and that's the exact thing, is it is a long season. Even if you're talking January 1st, I mean, we're still, I mean, it's still fresh into the season, right. Really. I mean,
we're not into the All-Star break at that
right.
point.
It's a long haul. There's going to be some ups. There's going to be some downs. Some days are going to come out looking pretty. Some days you're going to come out looking ugly. Sometimes, hopefully, you can walk away looking ugly with a win. So
mentioning that, I mean, that's right around the time that we would have picked Dubs up last year.
Yeah.
Beginning of January, All-Star break-ish.
Yeah, I think it's more towards the end of January, but right, yep.
So, you know, if he's looking solid up to that point, can he pull off the last half of the season like he did last year? I mean, it'd be great to see. I mean, I would definitely put the Wild up in a very good spot going into the playoffs, but it's very early right now.
It is, and I think a lot of it actually goes back to my first question on this topic was, is he our only solution in goal? Because, you know, as great as he can play, and it's nice when you get on a roll to continue on your streak, but every once in a while, a guy needs a little bit of relief, and you gotta, you know,
well, right, I mean,
be able to catch your breath.
Look at Montreal right now with Price being out for,
yeah.
Have they even said how long he's gonna be out for?
It's kind of like Parise, where they're just like gonna leave it open ended. So
I mean,
all of a sudden he's gonna be back, and they're like, okay, well he's back now, I guess.
I mean, you know, Montreal's sitting on top of the world with Price at the beginning of the season, and all of a sudden.
Well, you know, speaking of being hurt, I'm not sure of how many of you folks out there use the website Reddit. I'm actually an avid user, if you don't know that. But this week on the Wild subreddit, some keen users spotted an Instagram picture of several Wild players at what appears to be a tailor or, you know, a clothier of a haberdashery, something like that.
Yeah. Genghis formal wear.
I don't think it was Genghis.
I don't think it was Jaime's, and I don't think it was.
It's not prom season.
It's not Joseph A. Banks.
Yeah, you know. one of those types of places,
right? But it was a bunch of Wild players, which looks to be like they were getting fitted for suits, and the theory was maybe for Zucker's upcoming wedding, which is, you know, feasible, you know, plausible. Well, that isn't in itself really newsworthy. There was one small detail in the picture that had been left out of Russo's reports. And in the picture, Matt Dumba is seen concealing a left foot that is obviously in a walking boot.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Of course, only a few days later, it was revealed that Dumba had a CAT scan and that it came back negative. Someone has to think that it was only a sprain or a bruise. So with that, does that explain or at least excuse his, I don't even want to say bad play, but it's...
not up to his normal snuff?
Yeah, it's substandard for him, his play over the last, you know, week or so.
Well, I mean, I think that it could definitely maybe be posted as an excuse. Usually, though, as a professional, though, there is no excuse, but lots of times you try to play through an injury, play through the pain, and do what you can for your team. If it gets to the point, though, that you're costing the team, then you're not doing anybody any favors by being out there. But I don't think that I would say at this point, though, that his play has necessarily been that, you know,
I'm not going to say
it's degrading to our team's play.
But I will add, though, that I think his play has been sloppy.
Yeah.
And a lot of his movement has been rushed. You know, making passes.
He's been getting beat on plays that he shouldn't be getting beat on.
Yeah. He's making passes that, you know, it's almost like he's passing too quick because he wants to avoid a possible check or something like that. And, you know, maybe there's some correlation. Maybe it's just, you know, I'm now biased because I now know of this injury and I'm, you know, equating one to one, you know, there. But I don't know.
It would definitely be, you know, a valid excuse. But I'm still kind of surprised that that establishment would have posted a picture like that. Like, oh, hey, apparently they're not very big hockey fans if they're taking a picture of one of the guys injured and then posting it all over their Instagram.
So
it doesn't surprise me. They're
just happy that, yeah, you know, there's Wild players in their, right, in their business. So that's, yep, pretty cool for them, you know. Is anyone surprised that Russo didn't post anything about, you know?
No, because Russo is probably in direct contact with Wild PR saying, hey, don't talk about this.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I would think Russo's pretty good. I mean, he knows
a
ton.
And you don't burn that bridge.
You don't burn that bridge.
Otherwise, you aren't going to get any of the info that you do get.
So does that mean that, you know, we're basically slaves to Russo and whatever he spoon feeds us, though? I mean, maybe I'm answering my own question here, but
I think you kind of are.
Yeah.
but you're not, because you did find this out.
Wild Reddit.
You go deeper.
I'm doing it.
Go for
That's
it.
What she said.
My finger's on the trigger.
Okay, so, you know, within this last week, Scandella, you know, he missed some time because of his father's failing health. Do you think, had he been around and the situation been a little different, do you think Yo might have actually done a healthy, quote-unquote healthy scratch on Dumba? If you're in a walking boot, you got to assume something.
There's some concerns.
Right.
Yep. Probably, you know. But, I mean, that's the thing, you know, juggling the team day to day and probably hour by hour. I mean, you never know when somebody's going to walk in and kick the wall and break their foot. But
I mean, the walking boot, though, it might not have been that bad, and it could have just been a precautionary thing.
If you've got a boo-boo, you don't put it in a walking boot, though. Well, if it's just a boo-boo, it's not a walking boot. You put some balm on it and you call it a day, right?
Well, unless it's been something that's been lingering, too. That's
worse, though, isn't it?
Could be. But, you know, and sometimes, you know, as a player, you might have something that'll happen to you, but you're not necessarily going to pipe up about it. You don't want to be taken out of the game, you know. These guys are competitors. They want to play. They don't want to be sidelined by a little nagging injury. So,
and most of them aren't. I mean, you know, these guys are some of the toughest balls-to-the-wall athletes out there. I mean, you don't see too many other players going out there playing with a broken foot in any other sport. I mean, you know, hell, basketball, you don't even see guys going out there playing with a sprained finger.
Oh, no, they play with broken faces. You've seen them with those, like, funny masks.
I thought that was just a style thing.
No.
I thought that was a new trend.
You get with it, man. Face masks are all the rage.
When's the NBA going to get full helmets? Basketball's coming up, I think. We're just going to get this hybrid.
Well, actually, that's a good example of someone playing injured. Is that whole, remember the first time the Red Sox won the World Series, Curt Schilling and his bloody sock deal? You know?
Oh, yeah.
He got stitched up and he went and pitched and, oh, he's Jesus now or something.
Yeah, how many hockey players take a puck to the face, get stitched up, and come back?
Well, there was one just, like, last game.
Yeah.
Was it, who was it that took a puck to the face? Was it Schrader? I think took a puck to the face and came back. And so, you know, that's an everyday occurrence in the NHL.
That's, yeah, that's part of life.
Speaking of people.
That builds a character. Yeah, speaking of people.
Who should maybe take a puck to the face or maybe took a puck to the face?
Well, something's got to build some character with this guy. Yeah.
Pommelville. Oh, boy. When, oh, when?
We need a way back machine, like kind of Wayne's World, because I'm thinking... Brodziak.
When, oh, when will you hit the mark? Now...
That's what she said.
Wow. Sorry, I had to do it twice.
With the third most shots on the Minnesota Wild, Pommelville has zip, nada, nothing to show for it.
Man, I really wish you could have got a good sample of a puck hitting a pipe.
He's hit posts, as you mentioned. He's had open nets. Nothing has he been able to capitalize.
He's shot the puck wide plenty of times.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of times.
Missed the broad side of the barn.
Yep.
Missed the Brodziak side of the barn. Sorry.
I thought we had renamed the broad side of the barn the Brodziak side of the barn last year.
So, well, now with Pommelville being on the first and second lines this year, and not being able to, you know, finish or capitalize on any of these chances that he's been given, is Pommelville more of a liability to the production of our top lines then at this point?
Well, if he's getting the shots off, obviously he's got some sort of offensive ability. It's the fact that he can't bury it. But the chances are there.
Well, getting a shot off into the goaltender's gut or off of the post, I mean, is
or off the backboards, and
we got to have you hitting the net.
I like the conversation we had on Twitter. I think it was yesterday, where maybe just needs like some LASIK or something. You know, maybe he's got really bad vision. You know,
yeah, I can feel that guy's pain.
He needs to go to whoever Vanek went to.
Well, my other thought was, how cool would it be to have him wearing Hanson Brothers glasses?
Yes, that would be awesome.
So get his eyesight fixed and have some sweet looking specs.
Although, do we want him fighting?
Those are fashionable these days, actually.
Hipster Pommelville. I like you.
Well, a little bit more nerdy, though, right? With the tape on there?
I could go without tape, but, you know, I could go either way. He's a millionaire. He shouldn't have to have tape on his hipster glasses, right?
This is true. Unless it's a new up-and-coming thing. He could do it before the hipsters do it and be the ultimate hipster.
He should talk to Marco Scandella, get his haircut,
oh,
and then the glasses. Well, Pommelville's kind of, he's looking a little thin up top. Oh, so
he might be getting a little thin.
He's gets laughing it, so.
get a toupee. Toupee and glasses. Oh, wow, he'd be like a man in disguise. Could you imagine if he like walked around that way and just took everything off?
He's going to have a fake nose on it and a mustache underneath. You know, like those...
like the party glasses?
Right, that you get when you're like a little kid. Or
is that his contribution for Movember?
Right. Well, I mean, it's... Honestly, speaking of Movember, mm-hmm. I can't wait till we see Catfish, La Panta, and Lemmy Greenlay when they start shaving up their beards a little bit and getting crazy with things. Oh, that's going to be so awesome.
So Pommelville, though.
Pommelville.
Yeah. Pommelville.
Hipster Pommelville.
Hipster Pommelville.
Hipster Pommelville.
Back to the question at hand.
So Hipster Pommelville, maybe do we need to maybe send him packing, get him moving, get something for him?
No.
Maybe a package deal, him and Kemper?
Is he worth what he's getting paid, though?
Not without the production.
But the question is who's going to want to pay for that? Or are we stuck with it?
Maybe it's just the system that we run here is not good for Palmerville.
Maybe. But he's getting paid $5.6 million a year.
Was he on the no-trade clause?
And he's got a no-movement clause. So we might be kind of screwed there.
Oh!
If we wanted to move him.
So we can't look at moving him.
We can about it.
I don't think he wants to go back to Buffalo.
Well, you might. Never know.
Buffalo's on the up and up, though.
Well.
Kinda.
Kind of. Yeah. They've got problems still. Kind of like Edmonton, you know.
This is true.
They've got top draft picks, but they still got issues to work out, right?
Well, you know, 99 problems, but a Palmerville's not one.
You got to start somewhere.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow, we're just kind of on fire today.
Oh, it's good times, good times.
Are
we done talking about Palmerville? Because I'm tired of Palmerville.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm tired.
You know what we should talk about, though?
Let's move him.
Let's move them.
Let's move them.
Let's move them.
Let's talk about our Twitter, folks. We got Twitter questions today.
Our first one comes from at J. Brandon Jones. Mr. Brandon Jones, I'm presuming Mr.
I believe so.
How
many women have you met with the name Brandon?
Two, but they weren't actually women. It's a long story, and it is back in the Nam days. Oh, wow. So, that was just, sorry.
So, what did Brandon ask us?
So, he asks, you know, how about the surplus of D-men who deserve playing time, and who gets to play? Do matchups factor in?
You know, while they're a little lucky, a little, because of Scandella needing some time off to be able to cycle people.
Never hurts to have a little depth.
And right now the Wild definitely have depth of D, right? At the same point, you know, Follin, you know, he had that really great pass, that lead pass to Halla. On the
that was another the pretty breakaway on that shorthanded
that shorty against the Jets. You know, that was just beautiful. So Follin's been playing wonderful. It's a good problem for Yo to have. You know, considering the issues he's got in the forward department.
Yeah.
You know, with the guys being out on that side. With that, you know, and it actually might kind of lead into our other question, but I think you basically do what Yo has been doing. You start skating your D-men as forwards.
Well, looking at this right now with the average time on ice, that doesn't make much sense, but the average for our 7D that have been up has been about 17 minutes of play per player.
Sure.
Suter is still getting the most average time on ice with about 27, almost 27 and a half minutes a game. The low is Prosser, with just over 10 minutes a game average. So I mean, it's, I think spreading out a little bit better than what we've seen in the past.
Right.
You know, Dumba's kind of sitting right there in the middle with about 16 and a half minutes. And then, you know, you got, you know, Scandella, Spurgeon. You know, Scandell's around 20, Spurgeon's around 22, but I think Spurgeon, you know, being tied up with Suter a lot, I think we'll, you know, that goes back to Brandon's question that I think some of it does matter on the D pairings. And, you know, you get a defenseman paired up with Suter going out all the time, you're going to see an increase in minutes.
Well, that Neil wants the left-right matchups as well, and
absolutely,
and we've struggled with that in previous years. And
but do you guys remember early in the year where, you know, they were pushing to have Suter's, you know, on ice time,
right,
his minutes
right
down, and I see it's just creeping right back.
Well,
up,
I think part of that though, with Suter's numbers being higher, is the fact that he's the only D on the first power play unit, so he's gonna automatically see some more ice time above the other skate, above the other D, just because of that. Because you're not going to have, you know, your second pairing then is that's Spurgeon, Scandella. It kind of changes up a little bit, right. But So, you know, that's going to push Suter up just a little bit above everybody else. But, I mean, I think in general, you see him rotating in and out more often than you have, and at least kind of staying with the same deep partner more throughout the game than you have in previous years, where you'd see him out there on essentially two shifts with two different D-men.
Well, and let's be honest here. Suter, his ice time has gone up compared to what he had started with initially this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a minute and a half less than it was last year on average. And he's got 14 points in 16 games. He's almost a point per game. How do you play him less at that point? You cut back his time a little bit, and he's playing better. That's a win for the Wild right there.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So let's get into the next question here. Our next question comes in from Derek Felska.
State of Hockey News.
At State of Hockey News.
Missing some letters in there.
Yeah, it's State of Hickey because there's no O or E.
No vowels in the hockey.
You're right.
Except for Y, which is sometimes
like God intended.
Like God intended. So, I'm sorry. I'll get back to Derek's question here in just a moment. Earlier today, I was reading an email, and it was actually it was an email trying to sell stuff. And it said that they had, it was something for the holidays, sleds and this and that. But I started reading the email and I said, slads. And I felt very Canadian. So then later on today, I'm at work. I'm sure you guys all like to hear this story. And, working at the pizza place. And the name on the order was Hatcher. And the Canadian in me, if I got some in me, I probably do. I'm a mutt. I've got a bunch of everything.
Right, right.
Read it as hat chair.
Hat chair.
So now I really feel Canadian. But anyways.
A toque chair, you mean?
A toque chair. Yes.
There was a Canadian couple that wandered into the establishment I was working at last night that had Ontario licenses. And when they came to, oh, so you let Canadians in here, eh? Just like, but it was their natural Canadian accent kicking in, and I just about lost it. I was like, I gotta go.
Well, honestly, you get that even when you go, like, Northern Minnesota, and you get the Minnesotan accent.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't you know? And
I used to laugh at my mom and aunt all the time because they would full on, you betcha, hey, we're going to have hot dish for dinner. And now, because I mocked them so much, it naturally comes out in my talking, and I'm going, oh, crap, I'm turning into my mother and my aunt. This is not a good thing.
I'm going to cut some coupons and go up the rainbow.
We're going to head over to Target.
I'm stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
All right. So Felska's waiting.
Back to Felska. He asked, did the Wild make a mistake on Saturday night in not using Brett Bulmer and instead of using Nate Prosser as the wing? I guess, on this, when I take a look at that, Bulmer down in Iowa, he's played 14 games down there. He's only got one goal. He's got one assist. He's a minus three.
Iowa's not doing good right now. Right. Nobody is.
He's a minus three in the plus-minus column. He's got a few penalty minutes down there. And really, honestly, Bulmer over his career has kind of proven that he's, more of a liability. His career average in the AHL for his plus-minus rating is a minus 10. That means that more often than not, you're on the ice when the other team is scoring against you. So, I don't know. Here, I guess, personally, myself, I would think that Prosser was definitely the better start here. Starting Prosser also gave us, you know, flexibility. You know, if it didn't work out with Prosser playing that wing position, you know, it's easier to move Prosser back to D, and you can take one of our other offensive defensive players and move them up. And you know, Prosser, I think here he was definitely the more NHL caliber player, and I think that he was a good play with the overload that we have at talent.
Well, I think the weird thing though is that okay, so they played Prosser, but he only had 2 minutes and 35 seconds on ice.
That's a fourth line.
That's not fourth line. That's below fourth line. And all those minutes were on the PK. So he didn't even really get 4 minutes. So at that point, what's even the point of dressing him if you're only going to skate him for 2.5 minutes? You know, you got Suter playing 33 minutes last night. You know, what are you doing out there?
Yeah, but we've seen Prosser make some pretty big mistakes this season, and I mean, some boneheaded mistakes,
yeah,
too.
But Suter's coasting around. He's not, you know, he can only play so many minutes. And we just talked about, you know, Suter playing fewer minutes is probably better for the Wild.
I mean, we had just talked about it. Prosser, as far as the 7D that the Wild have currently had play, he's got the lowest average time on ice at just over 10 minutes, as is.
So can we all at least agree that it's weird that they would choose him over? I would say it's weird to choose him over even Bulmer. I mean, Bulmer or Birchie or any one of the other D-men, which could have slotted into a more forward, you know, style play. It just seems really weird.
And this is well, we
unless Prosser's hurt. I mean, I don't get why you would play that way.
Well, you know, this kind of goes back to what we had talked about last week, though, with do we move up an offensive-minded defenseman into a forward position?
Right.
And I guess looking at it, you know, now and how everything played out, do you really want to take one of those solid defensemen away from D? And maybe that's why Prosser came up. He did have the experience, put him on the PK where, you know, he's solid on it. You still have your six solid defensemen, your three pairings, and you kind of float juggle your lines around a little bit with your forwards, and you still have Prosser in there as a just in case, but he can still work the PK.
That's, I don't know, that's I guess where I come in and look at it, is that, you know, Prosser, we know what we're going to get from him up here, really. Yeah. We know that he knows the system up here. He's going to move in comfortably, I think, his normal position is D, but when you've been playing in the system as Prosser has been for a couple of years now, I mean, you can adjust to moving into a position like that fairly easily. And, you know, so he didn't get much time on ice, but that's still, you know, I don't know. I think that he still is the better play than, you know, bringing up somebody who is more likely to be a liability to the team.
Yeah, it's tough to argue with that because, you know, it's not like Ballmer's put up really good numbers.
Right.
Not that anyone's put up good numbers
in Iowa.
You know, Iowa, because it's like you've got injuries down there, and you've got
guys here getting scratched.
Right. Their lack of depth is the big Wild's lack of depth.
Right.
And that team has no depth at all. And that's why we're skating, you know, 7D.
You know, and Jive, I think, you know, looking at that minus 10 number of Bulmer, though, he could be out on the ice enough, and the goaltending situation down there could just be horrible. I mean, these could be soft goals that happen to be going in.
He's minus 3.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This year. I'm saying overall for his AHL career.
Gotcha. Okay,
He's a minus 10 on average.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, well.
Okay, I think,
that kind of got into it, Aaron.
Next, next Twitter question comes from Josh Wendell. That's at J Wendell PGA, golfing guy. Golfing. It's not golfing here though.
No,
unless we're talking Happy Gilmore, where hockey and golf converge and do
everything.
Yeah. Anyway, his question was, who would be the number one UFA this season to put us over the top? Which is actually a pretty complicated question because of our cap situation.
Damn, Canadians and their dollar going down.
Yeah. Obviously, we've got Backstrom coming off the books, and he's making almost $3.5 million. That's going to free up a bit of space, but you've got a bunch of RFAs that are going to get raises. That's Zucker, Spurgeon, Dumba, and Kemper, if we keep Kemper. And that's all.
Kemper was $1.25 million, I believe.
Yeah. Well, he's something around $1 million right now. Spurgeon, you know, he might be a guy that we look at moving. Because
see if we can get anything for him,
and if we got Riley, you know, knocking on the door, and Follin or Prosser is getting healthy scratched every other game, we've got a glut of D men, so it's time to move someone, right? And then we also have Fontaine, who's going to be a UFA, so we've got some guys that might eat up that Backstrom money unless we make some moves.
All right.
So with that said. Who would you look at picking up, you know?
I guess one of the questions would be also is what position are we going to be looking at the fill?
Right.
You know, Spurgeon and Dumba, we're going to be looking at getting a D in there if we happen to lose both of them.
Yeah.
Zucker, we're going to want a fast wing.
Yep.
Kemper goes and Backstrom goes, we're going to need a goalie in there.
Yeah, we are.
So, I mean, we got
a lot of good questions, actually.
Out of this one. So, it would be nice to get an awesome, solid center, but I think we're kind of sitting in a comfortable position with centers. Not great.
Right. You still got Koivu, Granlund. Coyle can slot over to a center if you
Halla.
Need to. Halla. So, center, you got to feel a little comfortable about.
Somewhat, but, I mean, they're not all...
They're not great.
They're not great, but no. They can get us through.
Right.
You know, then you got to look at our wings. So we'd have Pommaville, Parisi, our current situation.
Right.
Vanek, I believe, is locked up for another year.
Yep.
So we're good with that. Who else we got sitting in here? Koivu, Granlund, Nino. We've got for another year. And that's kind of...
Got a lot of open-ended questions here, you know?
And then, yeah, you know, so we could be looking at a wing. D, we're kind of looking at that situation right now. We've talked about that in the past few topics, just with different things. So, let's start it off basic then. What position would you start looking for?
Well, I mean, your logic is solid. I mean, you're probably looking at winger or goalie. You know, the heart pick goes... Well, I want to get a good physical Minnesota guy who's just a little added there.
I think I know who you're talking about because I think he's coming up on UFA.
And he is. You go for Byfuglien, but Byfuglien's going to be expensive for one.
Mm-hmm.
He plays D unless you want to play him at forward, which he's, you know, you pick your poison with him. I mean, it's he can be a disruptor, but. You know, at the same point, he's not going to put up a ton of points as a forward.
So you said Byfuglien. Now, this happens to be a center, but what could still fit in and we could still shuffle some guys around, but also a kind of physical agitator Minnesotan, David Backes.
Is he a UFA?
He's a UFA next year.
He's going to be a UFA, that's right.
So,
but he's got to be looking for some money, though.
His cap hit right now is $4.5 million, which is under Byfuglien's at 5.2.
Can we get him home? I don't know, man. That seems like a stretch to me. But
you know, it's.
I mean, it could be easier to pull him in than Byfuglien, I guess. You know,
Right. They're still both going to be big hits.
Right. Well, I guess maybe that's another question. Are the Wild even going to be able to take that kind of hit? Or should we be looking more, you know, the bargain basement guys and just looking for a good backup goalie, you know?
And there were a few on there. You know, nobody of great caliber, but if we've right. if we've got Dubnyk set up as our number one goalie for the next, you know, couple of years, we need somebody in there that can be a solid backup goalie that we can put him in, you know, say a third of the season, quarter of the season, third of the season, and if they can win half of those games to, you know,
yeah.
keep numbers up there, that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, maybe Scrivens, maybe?
Scrivens is available. Yeah.
Or Talbot, either one of the Edmonton goalies.
Because we haven't had enough Edmonton goalies come through the Wild system.
Yeah, but they come here and they come back to life.
This is true.
Because Edmonton is where goalies go to die.
This is where they come to live.
To resuscitate? We resuscitate Edmonton's dead goalies?
Something like that.
My other offering, we could bring him in for, you know, mentorship, would be Jaromir Jagr. You know, we could definitely bring him in for some.
That's
some
dreaming
some,
right there.
Some forward depth.
He's getting up there in age. I don't know if he'll survive another year.
Oh, he's got several more good years in him. I'm sure. Hey, if we can keep Backstrom on this long, I mean, we could keep Jagr on for at least another 10 years.
Wow, now you're dreaming.
He said he wants to play till he's like in his 50s, so
wow.
I bet he, you know, honestly, well, he's banging 20-year-olds, so why not?
Why not, yeah. You know, okay, so if we're talking forwards and we're looking more bargain basement, you know, what kind of guys are we looking for?
So essentially numbers we're looking at, you know, what, up to 2 mil?
Well, or guys that might, you know, may not be performing up to their cap value right now. You know, I look at a guy like, you know, someone like Christopher Stieg, where he's getting paid a lot, but he's getting paid almost $5 million right now. I can't imagine he's going to make that much in his next contract.
No, probably not.
His numbers don't support that. But he might be a good guy that, you know, whoever can have playing on the second or third line and be contributing offensively that we honestly really need, you know.
I think Ott was in that whole roundup too, you know.
You want Ott?
Apparently, I'm just going after all the St. Louis guys that we hate.
You know, is Landeskog coming up, or is there someone else from like Colorado that we
Tange,
yeah, but he's like 100 years old, so
he's 36. He's
not Jagr old, but
he's 7 years younger than Jagr. So that means we can if we can get 10 out of Jagr, we can get at least.
Three
at
out
least.
Of Tange.
I was thinking about a season and a half, but yeah. You know, a good solid D, though, Luke Shen is up.
Shen was another one where, and he's not having a good year. I think he's in the doghouse in Philly, so he could be a guy that might be available on the cheap. That is, if he doesn't get moved before then and, you know, reestablishes himself through the rest of the year.
Or even, you know, Kyle Quincy's up too, which would be, you know, I think putting like Kyle Quincy with Suter, which I mean, I'd hate to downgrade, you know, Spurgeon or Scandella at this point, you know, I guess primarily Spurgeon, but that would, or even putting Quincy on the second D pairing with one of those guys, I think would give us a solid, solid, solid top four. So I think that kind of wraps that up. We have enough options.
Yeah.
So our final question comes from Missy, a Missy Wild fan. And she asks, who will win on Tuesday, the Wild at Penguins? You know, it's the Wild, it's the Penguins, it's on NBC Sports, so we're probably going to see Pierre there. So we
shut
all,
up, Pierre.
We all lose that game.
Yes, we do. So who wins? You know, the Penguins are having a terrible season right now, right? I got to think that, you know, if things aren't working out with them right now, that I don't think that they're going to be able to do much against us. For some reason, you know, they've got they brought in Kessel, and he's not clicking with anyone. And even though he should be scoring points, you know, I'm going to have to go with the Wild winning on Tuesday.
I full on agree. You know, the Penguins are not the Penguins of old.
No.
You know, that have been fairly dominant. You know, they are they're 10-7 right now, but that's just numbers speaking. They're not the same team. I think we can. I actually foresee us sweeping the Penguins this year with the there and here.
Okay. So,
that's what I'm gonna go with the Wild.
I'm gonna agree. I think the Wild are gonna have a very successful trip out east there this week, and yeah, go to prove why the West is the best.
Absolutely. So yeah, hey, thank you guys for all your questions. And we look forward to some more. But I guess the other games we got coming up, besides the Penguins this week, we are in Boston on Thursday. And then Saturday, we're got the Purds at home again.
Purds.
So it's a three-day week. I like to see these three-day weeks. It's better than these two games that are back-to-back with a whole big break in there.
Right.
You know, a Tuesday, a Thursday, Saturday, nice spaced out every other day.
Yeah, so speaking of that Predators game, I think we'll make that the game of the week. Let's get into the game of the week, huh?
So last week, Wild at Stars was the game of the week. It was a split vote, you know, both myself and Kenny with the Stars. I had 5 goals, Kenny had 6. Jive went with the Wild, had 5 goals. Little did we know, it would come down to one of myself or Jive being right, and because we went to overtime last night with the Stars, and obviously the Stars won, so I ended up getting 2 points for that because I called the game and the score.
So we finally have somebody out in front right now.
We finally do.
No more of this tie crap.
So with that, I'm in first place with 5 points. Kenny is in second with 4, and Jive's in last with 2. So with that, Jive picks the game of the week. He picked, obviously, the Predators. And with that, I get to choose first of the game of the week, or who I'm picking. And I'm going to choose the Wild winning over the Predators. I'm going with 6 goals. It's an unorthodox score, but at this point, they...
Games of the Purds have kind of been unorthodox in right. general.
The Wild love 1-point games, so I'm probably not doing myself any services by going with 6 goals, but you know, that's what I'm going to go with.
So, Aaron, like last week, I'm picking the same team as you. I'm picking the Wild. Like last week, we both have 6 and 5, but unlike last week, I'm taking 5 this time.
And we're both picking the Wild this week.
We are both picking the Wild. You know, last game, the Wild lost 3-2. I'm thinking this time they're going to win 3-2. And that's, you know, my logic.
And Jive. That's your logic. Okay.
That's my logic.
My pick is going to be the Predators this week. I think that is going to be a close game, a tough game. But, you know, I don't know. The home ice advantage has not always been so home ice here. This year, but yeah. I mean, we're not invincible here, so
nope.
I definitely think that we can be beat, and you know, as close as I think it will be, because I'm sure we'll have dupes between the pipes that night,
right?
And it'll probably come down to a overtime winner, but a low scoring game. I'm gonna pick the Preds in 3.
Wow.
3 goals.
All right. Well, we're well over an hour at this point, so we'll wrap this up quickly. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny.
Yeah, and you can basically find my Twitter and Instagram pages at about.me. I am Kenny, K-E-N-N-E-Y.
All right. And find out about me, you can check me out. I'm at about.me/jivemidnight.
All right. And just to remind you, if you got questions for us, shoot us messages on Twitter. We will add it to our list and we'll answer them on our next podcast because, you know what, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Have a good night, folks.